The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
And welcome in, everybody. It is time for another edition of Everything You Need to Know. I'm Kip Kiefer. Glad to have you with me, as always, as we start a brand new week. Coming off a week of a lot of eventful happenings, but there's something in particular I want to focus on because I think it's a real microcosm of everything that we see going on in our world. We'll get to that in just a moment. I did want to make a quick comment of the horrifying scenes that we all were exposed to in the situation with Tyre Nichols, the 29-year-old who was beaten to death basically by Memphis police in a traffic stop. There's still so many things in that particular story that are hard to understand, and really we don't have the whole story, not to possibly justify the actions that were taken. It was absolutely abhorrent and awful. And, you know, in our system, justice has moved quickly, which it sometimes and frequently never does. The police officers, all five of them, are fired and arrested and charged with second-degree murder, with assault. I mean, it's a whole list of charges. These guys are probably on their way to going from wearing a badge to wearing a orange jumpsuit for many, many years to come. And it's is an indictment of so many things that are happening in law enforcement right now, but it really cannot be held up as an example of massive police corruption and dysfunction. These were individuals that were worked into a frenzy for whatever reason, and it will be interesting to hear from them in their defenses of in the upcoming trials, which will probably be in the fall. But what just triggered the absolute maniacally evil behavior that led to this young man's death? It was supposedly just a routine traffic stop. He was about a mile from his house after being out shooting some photography. It didn't even sound like, it wasn't late at night. It was like early evening. He was pulled over for allegedly recklessly driving. But the thing in the video that really shocked me, and of course shocked by the whole thing, but even the earliest part of it, when the first officer approached the car, it wasn't roll down the window as evening officer, or this guy, this policeman basically opened the door and pulled this guy out of the car violently. And if it was a routine traffic stop, which I'm sure all of you have experienced, I don't remember ever being handled whatsoever by a policeman. I don't know what was going on in advance of this that led to that early interaction, which really set the stage for it all spiraling out of control, because the young man kept saying, "What did I do? What did I do?" And he was basically being thrown around physically in the early stages of this. So the cops were highly agitated. And why does it take, squad cars of several different officers on a routine traffic stop for alleged reckless driving? There's just a whole lot of questions that I have not been able to secure answers to. So we'll follow that as we move along. But it was a shocking, terrible incident, and all kinds of credit to his mother and stepfather and entire family of urging people to show restraint. Protest what happened, but don't be violent and destroy things, because life has to continue, and that really doesn't accomplish any purpose. And my props to people who were rightfully outraged in Memphis and other areas around the country. Unlike so many of the things we've seen in recent years, where there is blatant destruction and even murder in response to things that are outrageous. It was a weekend where calm was pretty much maintained, and the process went forward peacefully as the family had requested. So tremendous credit to the class and dignity of these people, and also that people adhered to their message. It was nice to see that some of the professional people that come in intent on taking advantage of these kind of situations and wreaking a lot of havoc and destruction didn't materialize this time. So a horrible situation in Memphis. My utmost condolences and sympathies to the Nichols family up there. I spent a lot of time in Memphis in my younger years and lived there. It's a great community. A lot of positive things happening there, a lot like Birmingham in some ways, in terms of everybody internally, you know, making a real effort to mesh together as a society. And I hope that this will be a really lightning rod of progress, because again, we've got to look at so many things in our society, and really try to keep these kind of terrible atrocities from happening. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. And of course, that was a huge story. About the middle of the week, there was a very interesting situation that I'm fascinated by what occurred, but the follow-up to me has been even more intriguing. And I wanted to bring you up to date with it, because as so often happens in this time and place in our lives and development in our country, there is almost no attention paid from the traditional media on some stories that definitely, absolutely should be drawing attention. And I'm talking about, I don't know if you've seen it, a lot of people have not, because it's already being methodically erased. And it's not really available in a lot of places. And I'm going to talk about the follow-up and the reaction on that. But I think it was last Wednesday night, a man named Jordan Walker was out at a restaurant on a date with another young man and got kind of comfortable. I'm sure a couple of drinks were involved, but he did not know that his date was actually an undercover Project Veritas individual, which if you're not familiar with that outfit, it's a gentleman named James O'Keefe who has made it his life work to try and kind of take it another level from the 60 Minute shows that were so popular back in the 70s and 80s, Mike Wallace and Morley Safer, where those guys used to go in and confront basically face-to-face people that they thought needed to be, you know, drawn out. And a lot of times, you know, the old joke was, when you see Mike Wallace coming up your driveway, you better have an escape plan to get away, because he's going to get to the bottom of whatever shenanigans you're involved in. Well, Project Veritas has taken that tradition and taken it to another level. And they had a kind of grainy, obviously, you know, you have to be very careful to make your sting or whatever you want to call it work. So sometimes the quality isn't the best, but the audio was very revealing. And as the conversation ensued between Jordan Walker, who identified himself as the director of research and development for the biggest pharmaceutical company in the world, and we'll leave that name off because it's not pertinent. And there's enough gaps in this story that we're not going to point fingers. I'm just going to tell you what's happened before and since. So, if you haven't seen the video, in the conversation, it gets around to COVID-19. This individual was hired by this massive pharmaceutical company from a consulting company in Boston about a year and a half ago. And his title, again, is research and development, predominantly in mRNA research and science. And mRNA is the technique in terms of developing vaccinations for the COVID-19 virus. It is a drug that alters your RNA profile, which is a long explanation that I am not qualified to give you. But anyway, there is certainly documentation still out there that this guy was legitimately who he claimed to be. So the conversation began in talking about COVID-19 and the pharmaceutical industry's response to it with the variety of vaccines and the continuing development of follow-up boosters. A sidebar here, and this was not in their conversation, but I think it's important that everyone needs to know this, that basically, despite the alteration of history and facts, these vaccines for this particular disease, COVID-19, have, I think, spectacularly failed. And anybody who disputes that will counter with, well, the fact that the vaccines have lessened the effects of the disease's implications make them successful. But, you know, you can look up the definition of vaccine, and it is a compound that is developed to prevent people from contracting a said disease. And in that vein, the vaccines for COVID-19 certainly were completely ineffective, because people that have been vaccinated and fully boosted continue to develop the disease. So from the very definition of vaccine, these were not effective. And the other justification is, well, it limits the impact, so that is a good thing to protect our most vulnerable citizens. I had a problem, and I think I mentioned it on a show here months ago, that we were firing a lot of people from our military and our first responders because of their reluctance to take the vaccine. You know, their own personal choice of what to put in their body and what they believed was best for them is a right that's guaranteed to every American. But on the other hand, you had this government-led, just obsessive campaign from the left that everybody had to get vaccinated for the protection of everybody else. And, you know, I was pointing out that we're letting millions of people pour across our southern border without requiring them to be vaccinated to enter the country. And yet some of the best and brightest and most accomplished people, most heroic people in our society, were being fired from their jobs. It just seemed like a hard thing to justify for me. And they're not really related, other than the fact that there's no obsession to vaccinate people from all corners of the world carrying in who knows what to our country. But yet people that are exemplary individuals who are saving lives and doing things to protect our country worldwide are being booted out because they won't comply. So that was the point. And I got a response from someone I very seldom hear from. She's actually my niece, who's a doctor. And she made this exhaustive defense of the fact that we have to protect the most vulnerable in our society, which is our older people or people with pre-existing conditions. You know, basically, that doesn't hold any water for me, because if the vaccine doesn't prevent the contraction of the disease, it's sure as hell not going to do anything to limit spread and make the vulnerable safer. It just doesn't add up. Again, if you listen to our show, we talk about common sense. If the vaccine's not effective in being a preventative measure, then it really, you know, the argument that it somehow makes the contraction of the disease less severe, which adds up to this obsession with healthcare officials that they don't get overrun, which was, of course, the big concern in the initial problems in 2020, where the hospital system wound up handling it pretty well. And of course, the federal government stepped in with a lot of other places and treatment centers where things could be facilitated. Of course, it also had catastrophic events in Maryland, or not Maryland, catastrophic results in New York when Governor Cuomo decided to sign an executive order when hospitals got overrun and dispatched COVID patients into retirement homes and facilities caring for old folks and health care facilities along those lines, which was just pouring gasoline on a fire because those were the most vulnerable. And you introduced thousands of people back into that system, which infected countless people and led to complications and deaths from COVID. So I also was saying a lot during that time, and this is where you start to kind of get into and remember our slogan: it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. It's undeniable that the federal government was trying to incentivize hospitals and medical facilities into identifying deaths of Americans as COVID. This is a country where, sadly, over 7,000 people pass away every single day. That's a statistical fact that has been in place for a number of years at our current population levels. And I said throughout, it seemed like when people were getting hit by a car or, you know, falling off a roof, that they were being chalked up as a COVID death, because the government actually incentivized with sending money to these huge hospital organizations and medical outlets, any death that was filed under that criteria was getting a grant from the United States government. So it became a financially lucrative situation to basically code almost any death as COVID related. And a study I saw just a week ago in Milwaukee, a guy went back, a medical examiner went back and looked at all of the deaths in 2020 and 2021 that were credited to COVID related in his jurisdiction in Wisconsin, in and around Milwaukee, and found out that almost one in only one in four were legitimately COVID caused, and that three out of four, 75%, had questionable aspects of what the actual cause of death was. Maybe COVID was present, maybe it wasn't, but heart attacks, lung cancers, you name it, a lot of different things that we're doing people in were getting chalked up as COVID. And again, there was a financial incentive to that, which is just puzzling anyway. It was once again very clear evidence that the government was pushing the whole COVID situation and trying to create this emergency state that they're still trying to hang on to today. I went last week to the Social Security office for some matters I needed to attend to here in Birmingham. I've never set foot in a Social Security office in my life. I was not in the door 5 feet when a guy came running up and said, "You have to be wearing a mask." And I said, "Are you kidding me? There's no place that requires a mask for the last year and a half. And I'm required to wear a mask." I said, I don't even have a mask anymore. And he goes into a giant cabinet and fishes out a nice mask for me to put on, which I found very interesting that the government just clings to this idea because it gives them emergency powers to execute just about whatever they want. And they just won't concede that this thing has been pretty much arrested. There are still cases coming up, but they're rather mild. And, you know, it goes back to the same argument that we're still protecting the most vulnerable. So there's some really anomalies in this whole COVID thing that are disturbing. And as we get back to the primary reason for talking about this, the date that went wrong for poor Jordan Walker, the director of research and development, the question was asked of him. So you know, what's going on now? Why? What do you say to the vaccines being ineffective? And he said, well, they haven't really been ineffective for the company. They've been a, quote, cash cow. And he says that loud and clear. There's no getting back. So from his standpoint, you know, we don't need to talk about failed vaccines. From a business standpoint, they have been a cash cow. They've been just a godsend of unlimited revenue for this company and the other pharmaceutical companies involved. So that being said, he said, in fact, you know, we're even having meetings currently talking about controlled, or actually his term was directed evolution of the disease, since it continues to go in different directions. We've been having some substantive discussions about, you know, getting ahead of that and you know, mutating the disease ourselves so we can be preemptively ready with new vaccines whenever a possible outbreak happens. How disturbing is that? And that's what he said clearly, that basically, and his companion, who was actually the undercover reporter, said, well, isn't that the same principle as gain of function that probably caused all this to begin with? And he said, no, it's different than gain of function, because gain of function was experimentations of how to manipulate the virus initially to prepare us for the inevitability that maybe sometime in nature this might happen. We talked about this before here on the show, how perverse and disgusting the whole principle of the fact that your taxpayer dollars, controlled by the illustrious Dr. Fauci with the National Institute of Health, he gave over $8 million to Echo Health, which was founded originally by Bill Gates. And a lot of that money, reportedly at least $6 million of it, went to the Wuhan lab, where everybody is that has half a brain and any common sense knows that those experiments went terribly wrong, or did they? But that clearly is where this developed and where it emanated from. And there's still people trying to sell you the banana that this was a natural thing in nature. And this came from bats and it got transmitted to humans. It's a bunch of baloney. And anybody who looks at this with any sense at all knows that that's just a lame excuse. This thing is, again, probably the greatest scandal in human history. And it resulted in worldwide economic hardships, societal disintegration, and literally deaths of millions of people. Either directly or indirectly caused by this finagling of nature. So he says this is not gain of function because they're not developing the disease itself. They're just taking it in some different areas, maybe if it's feasible, you know, kind of getting the jump on nature so they can have vaccines and make more ridiculous amounts of profit. So everything he said, and then the guy was incredulous sitting with him and said, well, you know, what about the government? Don't they have any oversight in all this? And he says, hey, basically, we are a government agency. He says, there's regulators, but everybody knows the deal. I mean, this was really revealing stuff from the mouth of somebody who's on the inside and is actually the director of research and development. Now, as I told you in the beginning of this, the fascinating thing for me is what's happening now, because immediately there were denials. Google and YouTube have taken the actual video shot by Project Veritas off, because when the guy reveals to Jordan Walker that, you know, he's actually there to interview him, Walker just flips out. If you could see that video, you would be amazed. Here's a guy that's supposedly third or fourth in line in the pecking order in the biggest pharmaceutical company in the world, and he's taking a swing at this other guy. He's flailing on the floor. He's desperately trying to run to the door and get out. The door somehow locked, and somebody in the restaurant is yelling, "Somebody unlocked the door." I mean, this guy completely flips out because he knows that he's just completely screwed up. Not only the dirty little secret of the pharmaceutical company's role in all this, but also his whole future. And of course, the reaction after that was immediate, because there's a fascinating video on YouTube of a computer expert watching the complete whitewashing of any record of this guy even being around. And she's showing, okay, now you see they're taking his LinkedIn account and completely wiping it off. And they're completely altering anything about him, his hiring, anything on the on their website, any mention of him whatsoever. They are just making him completely disappear. And it's amazing to see that's how they react. And we've seen this before. Remember Christine Blasey Ford, who came forward at the last second and accused Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of raping her, actually not raping her, attempting to rape her when they were in high school at a party. And she had no recollection of where it was, of what, you know, how she got there, how she got home, who she was with, other people that were there. But she knew it was Brett Kavanaugh that did this. And it, amazingly, the whitewashing of her entire identity took place before she came forward, because this was a very adamant abortion activist who had a long history of wild accusations against government officials. And so this process is nothing we have not seen before to just make people disappear. Then you have Forbes magazine, a guy named Bruce Y. Lee, who's a journalist and a contributor for Forbes magazine, talking about how sketchy Project Veritas is. And this is just a radical right-wing organization that always is trying to do these things in stages. There's no verifiable facts that this guy even exists. This Jordan Walker was probably an actor. I mean, the damage control has already started, and it is amazing how they're just trying to do what they always do when they're caught in the cookie jar, shrug and deny it. I always compare it to the old Monty Python bit on the classic movie, you know, where the king has gotten into a sword fight with the Black Knight and basically slices off his arms. And he says, now step aside. And he says, no, he says, what are you chickening out? And he says, I've cut off both your arms. He goes, no, you didn't. That's kind of how these people react when they're caught, just in total denial that, no, you didn't. You know, this isn't verifiable. This is false. This is just typical right-wing attempts to finagle stories and create things that aren't true. But also the traditional media, you have seen no sign of this anywhere on the traditional networks. It has been pretty much whitewashed and put aside, because this badly damages the agenda of this COVID emergency nonsense. And it really lends itself to the hard facts to absorb for folks that this whole thing is something that was not an accident and was exploited for all it was worth. So it's definitely worth your research. There's still a lot on the net of people analyzing this pro and con, although finding the actual video now is difficult, because again, this can't be. And I'm sure it's attributed to the same thing we've been experiencing. This is misinformation, because they're actually riding with the defense that this guy wasn't legit and he really didn't say anything that, you know, startling. But I think those things that we have pointed out are pretty staggering, that that we're looking at ways to direct the evolution of this, the directed evolution of this aftermath of the COVID pandemic. Now, I think a great new term to call this going forward Was this a pandemic or was it a plandemic? It is major food for thought and something you need to know, because it's going to become increasingly hard to even access information on this because the great whitewash is already well underway. So that's what I had for you this week. The interesting confessions. And here's the last thing. If you do get a chance to see this video, this guy is laughing giddily while he's describing a lot of these things that are going on and a lot of the internal responses in this company and the fact that it's been such a lucrative situation. He's laughing. He's joking. It's kind of a serious subject to be so flippant about and really only regard it as a money-making opportunity as opposed to what unbelievable damage this plandemic did to our entire world and our country. The whole motivation of it tied to the fact that Donald Trump, as president, who was going to sweep to re-election in 2020, something major had to happen to shake up things. And if this was a plot, and again, it's not one of these things where people gather from all around the world and make plans. It's a lot of cooperating entities kind of quietly doing some things to finagle events. And it's scary as hell to think that these kind of things occur. We talked about Davos last week and the invitees there, the self-appointed Wizards of Oz pushing their buttons and pulling their levers every day, trying desperately to control power and wealth around the world. They certainly are big suspects in all of this, as well as the Chinese government. There's a whole lot of conspirators who had a lot to gain for creating chaos. And it's something you can reject or not be comfortable thinking about, but it's definitely something you need to consider going forward. That's all the time we have for this week. Kip Kiefer, thought you needed to know. We'll be back next week as we'll have more on whatever is happening and whatever we need to call your attention to so you can add up the facts, consider all of those for yourself, and reach your own conclusions. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.